Welcome to the Launch University Podcast, turning good intentions into reality in your career, business, and life. Here's your host, Jeff Henderson.
Today on the Launch University Podcast, talking about a principle, launchers are learners. And we're very excited that you're here. Jeff Henderson here with you, David Farmer and Shane Benson. And guys, this is going to be like a rapid fire kind of a thing. So are you ready, Shane?
I'm ready.
Yes.
All right, Dave. So here's what we're going to do. We're calling this kind of the subtitle under Launchers Are Learners, 10 Hacks to Make You a Better Learner. Because the better learner that you are, the better launcher you become. So, David, let's start with you. You've got an overall principle that we're going to kind of build off of, and that'll lead us to hack number one.
Okay, so hack number one is think about new people you can meet. And this is something that I remember hearing Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, talk about. He would say, you're going to be the same person tomorrow that you are today, except for the books that you read and the people that you meet. And he got it from a gentleman that was kind of a motivational speaker way back in the day, a gentleman named Charlie Tremendous Jones. Don't you love that as a
love
nickname?
That.
Tremendous. But so I started thinking, well, who are the people that I'm going to meet? And so as I even think about my own development plan, I begin to think about who are people that I want to meet.
Right.
A simple example, I said I would really like to meet Ralph Lauren. And the reason for that is I wanted to understand how he has developed an enduring brand for a couple of generations. Now, true confession, I've not yet met Ralph Lauren, but Ralph, if you're listening, would love to get together with you.
But I do remember that day you said, I'd love to meet Jeff Henderson.
Yes.
And it happened.
Look what happened. But I did get to meet somebody that's very close to Ralph and who runs one of his primary brands, the Double RL brand. And that proved to be fascinating. So that's an example. I can think about the time we all went up to Washington, D.C. and met Mark Batterson, who's one of our favorite authors. And that was a transformational experience. So that's hack number one. Think about people, even if you have no idea how you might ever get connected to them, just write it down. Be intentional about pursuing these new relationships.
Yeah, and we hope you write these down, and obviously we'll put this on the blog as well. So the people you meet, hack number one. Hack number two is really tied into what David was talking about in terms of the books that you will read. So the people that you meet and the books that you read. Now, that's not probably a new idea in terms of reading books, but one of the things, the hack that we want to talk about with number two is to capture book learnings. So you could read a book, put it down, and then if there's not a system that you're using to capture those learnings, then you can forget about them. And trust me, the older that you get, the quicker you can forget things. So in the old days, David and Shane, I used to put what I was learning on the inside front cover of the book. So I could go to my book library at home or at work, pull it off the shelf, open up the cover of the book, and there would be the learnings of the book. Now in today's world, I really love Goodreads.com. So you can have your own page. It's kind of like a Facebook page. And you can type in your primary learnings from the book. So if there's a book that somebody asked me about, or I think, oh, there was something in this book that was a great learning, but if I can't remember it, I go to my Goodreads page, I find that book, and then I link and look at the learnings. So that's a way for me to capture book learnings. And guys, I can't tell you how many times I've gone back to my Goodreads page, found that particular book for that particular insight. So
can I build on that?
Absolutely.
I know one of the things you love about Goodreads is that you can share it easily.
Right.
And so I applaud you for that because you're phenomenal about sharing what you've learned through books. What I'm doing is using OneNote, which is very similar to Evernote, but I keep tabs and pages where I summarize books. Now, granted, it's not quite as easy to share. It's not designed to be social, but I can cut and paste those summaries out and send them to people, and I do that. So another variant on what you're describing.
Right.
So number three, and oftentimes I find myself in this situation where I'm not applying what I'm learning. So we're spending time today talking about these things we can do as launchers to be learners, but what are we doing to apply that learning? And so a couple things to be thinking about as I think about how to apply that. One is, you know, oftentimes people say a habit takes how many days to put in place? 30. So what is it that you're learning, and how could you put a habit in place to maximize that learning over the period of about 30 days? Looking at if it's something you've read or a quote that you want to just memorize and put into your vernacular over time, how are you literally reviewing that for 30 days in a row to create a habit in that? Another thing to think about is, who are you asking for accountability. Is there somebody that you could actually say, hey, I'm working to apply this in my life, and I'd love for you to hold me accountable to that? Is there somebody that you could partner with to actually hold you accountable to some of the learnings that you're picking up on?
Shane, on your habit idea, we all have a friend, Tommy Newberry, who he develops a lot of great tools over at the 1% Club, but he has these habit trackers. And he likes to have you create just a little chart, kind of a checklist chart. Did you execute your habit today and post it somewhere where you're going to see it? That is a form of self-accountability as well. So that's something anybody can do. You can make your little chart on a scratch piece of paper or an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a gigantic habit. It's actually probably better for it to be a small thing. Like, hey, I'm going to read, or I'm going to start drinking 20 ounces of water today. All right. So I'm going to do that for 30 days, and then that will help me start drinking water if you're not drinking as much water. So apply with accountability. So those three, we're not even 6 minutes in, and you've already gotten three hacks of learning. So Dave, go to number four.
Okay. This is one that I have adopted over the last couple of years, and I call it social experiments. And here's what I mean by that. It is giving myself permission to try something without making a long-term commitment to it. Just go try it. And so what I've found is when I do that, I get freed up. I'm willing to take bigger risk, do things that are arguably a little further outside the lines that just may be different for me, because I don't feel like I'm obligating myself to it long term. And so when you try these things, you honestly go into it and never know what you're going to learn. And so I've actually been having a lot of fun. I can remember, Shane, I know you like to run. I used to run a lot as well, and I was having some problem with my foot. And so I said, I need to kind of deviate from my running routine. I was looking for another form of exercise. So this is probably 5 or 6 years ago. I said, so I'm going to go try a CrossFit class. Kind of called that a social experiment. It's a little intimidating. I don't know much about it. Awkward at first, but I am teaching myself to get comfortable. Just put yourself in there and see what happens. And I did it and loved it and did it for years and kind of along the same vein now. I said, well, you know what? I need to work on my flexibility and mobility. I'm going to try yoga class. Let me tell you, when I go to yoga class, it feels a little awkward at first.
Does that one ever not feel awkward? Sorry.
Not if you're in as inflexible. I'm like sometimes the only guy in this yoga class, and I am so bad. I am so inflexible. But I am, trust me, I am learning from that. It takes, there's a little bit of humility that comes with it as well. I told Mallory, my wife, that I would do dancing lessons with her. So that's one I've kind of verbally committed to her I will do, which I'm not a good dancer as well, but I'm willing to kind of put myself out there and just try
successful. And now you have accountability partners.
That's right.
You will be a better dancer.
Hadn't done it yet, but we'll see. So social experiments, give it a try.
That's another reason to follow Launch on Instagram, because we're going to get a picture of David on his yoga class and put that on
I love it.
Instagram.
I love it.
So
I could be standing up and you just don't even realize I'm stretching, right?
I think one of our challenges oftentimes when we're trying to learn, and I think we've all realized the importance of that, right, as leaders and launchers, is creating the margin to do so. You actually have to have time to do the yoga class, or you have to have time to read. And so just a hack that I think has been really powerful is creating margin to learn. And I think that goes, there's a variety of ways to go about doing that, but how are you leveraging the margin that you have on your commute to work? You know, what are you listening to? And have you planned for that time? You know, as you think about your weekly calendar, add up all the time you're in the car, and could you leverage that with a podcast or some sort of, you know, learning audible book or something of that sort? What does that look like when you think about your week, and how much time are you setting aside to actually learn? Yeah. What magazines are you reading, but do you have time to actually dive into some blogs and some podcasts? What are you doing? Are you setting aside a couple hours each week to actually spend time learning? And then one other I would say is just, what does your early morning success ritual look like? You know, what in the morning when you wake up, have you built in some quality time? Maybe it's 15 minutes, maybe it's 30 minutes to actually spend time learning. And that could be, again, a book, a podcast, a variety of different periodicals or what have you. But what's that margin in your life that you've set aside to learn?
Yeah. And do you even call it out in your calendar? A and B, view that as valuable, and every bit as productive, perhaps, as completing a task.
To build on that, David, I think it's actually helpful. It's really even more helpful when somebody asks you, can you meet with me? And you have that time built into your calendar. It gives you the flexibility to be able to say, I'm sorry, I already have a previous commitment.
Right.
And that commitment is to your learning. And so I think that's really, really important.
Yep.
So that's the first five. Let's recap this. And again, what we're talking about is launchers are learners. So these are 10 hacks to help make you and me a better learner. It's the people that you meet. Then it's the books that you read, but you're really capturing your book learnings. Then you apply with accountability what you're learning. Social experiments, something new that you can apply, something new that you can experience. And then the margin to learn, as Shane was just talking about. So that's the first five. Anything else on those first five, guys?
Just as I think about margin to learn, one of my disciplines in the morning is I just like to go work out. But I was not good about always wearing my headphones. And I realized I am blowing an opportunity if I'm not listening to something. So generally, I'm listening to beyond music even. Not that that's bad all the time. That kind of gets you going sometimes, changes your mood. But I have gotten in the habit of listening to either books on audio. I use Audible all the time. Or a podcast. And I feel like, well, I'm doing two great things at once. Yeah. And you feel pretty good about it at the end.
And along those lines, too, I would encourage you, and we've talked about this before, trying to think for 10 minutes a day. So if you're at a doctor's office and you're waiting, if your initial bias is, I'm going to check Facebook or Instagram, that's cool. But maybe you could use that time, just 10 minutes, to think with a blank piece of paper and just reflect on what you're learning. So that's the first five. Now we're going to go to the second half. And the next one, number six, is read a different magazine, blog, or try to read something or listen to something that you normally wouldn't have an interest in. And so our friend Mark Miller taught me this many years ago, and the way he positioned it would be, if you go to a Barnes & Noble and you're hanging out at the bookstore there, and you go to the magazine area, let's just say, and you naturally have those magazines that you're going to lean toward. I'm going to go to the sports or this. And Mark said, go to a topic of interest that you don't know anything about or that you're not even remotely interested in, and pick up that magazine. And his challenge is that invariably you're going to find something and learn something new, because this is an area of life that you're not familiar with. And Steve Jobs said that creativity is connecting things. So basically the point is you take your world, then you connect it with a world that you're not familiar with, and there's learning and creativity there.
That's great.
I had that experience recently. First of all, I love going to Barnes & Noble.
I do too.
I hope it doesn't go away.
Me too. And
I have this thing for magazines.
Yep.
I just love the touch, the feel, the texture, the whole, that kind of experience. So I can roam around the magazine racks. But I decided, I'm kind of interested in a handgun. I don't have a handgun. I said, I'll learn a little bit about it. So I bought this magazine on handguns.
Guns and ammo.
I saw that one. It's not the one I bought. But let me just say, it opened up a world I did not know existed, okay? I was fascinated just by looking at the ads. Now, if you're offended by that, I apologize. But the point is, it's like, wow, there's a whole subculture.
A whole other world.
Oh, yeah. So I got that point about something different changes your whole point of view.
And it changes... Put your brain in a different area and just allows you to think in a different way.
Yeah.
So that's number six. Who's got, David, I think you got number seven.
Yeah, number seven. This is try new places, and I'll just add in experiences. So this is something I really enjoy doing in my work. A lot of our work is about anticipating where business is going, anticipating things that customers are going to be interested in down the road. And so one of the ways we do that is we go on all these scouting trips, and I love doing that. And we're in the restaurant business, but we don't just go to restaurants. We go to retail stores or other places where there's a service or hospitality dimension, or there's physical design involved. And we just take note of what we're learning and what we're feeling and what we're seeing and sensing while we're there. And that informs then some of the design that we might take and bake back into our own restaurant experience. So those kind of scouting trips have become an important part of our work process and discipline. But you can apply this even on a personal level. Think about just some of the little trips or even vacations you take. And there's nothing wrong with going back to that favorite place at the lake or the beach or the mountains that you always love. That's meaningful. You can kind of unplug and relax. But should you take some of your time and go someplace you've never been before, maybe to a radically different culture even? Like we took a trip to Istanbul, and this was a year and a half ago, and I'm not sure I could go back there now. It's kind of gotten, it's become a scarier place, but before they had some of the terrorist events, we went there. It was a radically different culture, and it was fascinating, and I could almost feel senses come alive that you don't use all the time, just as you walk down the street even, because you can tell you're in a different kind of place. We're going to have a little family trip in May where we go down to a coffee farm in Guatemala, building upon some relationships that I've made with coffee farmers. Those are the interesting kind of things. I saw this play out. One of our past podcast guests was Hillary Sparks, and she writes this restaurant guide called Morsel, and she shared her story. And I've noted the last two issues that Hillary put out have been all about these ethnic restaurants in Atlanta. There's a corridor of Atlanta called Buford Highway that's full of all these great and interesting ethnic restaurants. But a lot of people are probably a little bit apprehensive about going there because it's so different. And so she was trying to be the guide to tell you where to go, what to try. That's what we're talking about. New places, new experiences, that will stimulate all kinds of learning.
That's fantastic. So seven in. Shane, you've got number eight.
Yeah, so number eight, asking others what they're learning. I love this one. This is a great one to use when you're, let's say, at a party where you don't know many people, at a conference where, you know, it may be just you and a bunch of other business leaders, but how often do you find yourself, you know, engaged in this conversation where, quite honestly, you don't even know what to talk about? You're basically asking, how's business and how's the weather where you live and where do you live? Versus asking them what they're learning. I was amazed. This just happened to me last week where I was at a conference. I asked somebody what they were learning, and the gentleman spoke up and said, I'm learning how to grow sunflowers. And I mean, I'm at this business conference. I was like, okay, very intrigued. Tell me more. He took me down the whole process. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but there's like 62 versions or variations of the sunflower. And he told me everything that he's doing to farm these sunflowers. And you could say, well, that's not really interesting. Well, honestly, I thought it was really interesting because he was talking about farming and all kinds of different things that I'm intrigued by. But I do think there's this unintentional thing that happens when you engage people with actually what they're learning, because it puts you on to so many different things. I asked this recently with a couple of our kids' friends who are in college, and I said, what are you learning right now? And they showed me this app that was basically Khan Academy in an app form, and how they were leveraging a finance class and learning through this Khan Academy. And they literally showed me in the app, and I was like, holy cow, I could learn from this thing. And so we opened it up and kind of took a little finance class together, and I was like, wow. So this premise of asking others in these meetings that you have what they're learning, I think can be really, really valuable.
Yeah, I love that.
Speaking of Khan Academy, I saw recently that they have a partnership with Pixar, and Pixar actually teaches you how to tell a story, and it's all free there on Khan Academy.
On Khan Academy, wow.
So to illustrate your point.
See? There we go. There's case in point.
You know, it invariably, when we, the three of us, just kind of get together, we're going to have a dinner together or something, I think we always kind of go there anyway. We start sharing what we've been learning, what we've been experiencing.
Don't reserve those conversations for your friends or the folks closest to you. Actually take a step and ask some of those strangers that, you know, come across in your paths, and maybe it's a business trip, whatever, but there's something powerful about asking people what they're learning.
So maybe that's a good just kind of cocktail party question.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this kind of ties into social experiments and then margin to learn, but, you know, we're huge believers in conferences. A couple weeks ago, I just went down to a forum on race and faith. Like, where's, you know, racism, racial prejudice, faith, where's the church connecting into that? And just went down, had dinner with people and said, what are you learning? Tell me, because I need to learn from people from different walks of life. And
I bet it was powerful.
Oh, absolutely. And I, you know, but you talk in questions, you don't talk in sentences there, because I'm here to learn. Mm-hmm. And I would say this, if you have the opportunity to talk to someone who's an expert, and sometimes when we're around famous people, there may be the tendency, let me tell you what's going on in my life. You have to be the question asker, and you just take notes. So
listen.
In fact, I was, I'm not name dropping here, but maybe I am. But so I had dinner with John Maxwell last week. And so what fascinated me about John is John said, "Hey, Jeff, I want to ask you some questions." And I said,
he was asking.
Yeah, questions. I said, no, I'm going to ask you questions. And he said, no. So it was like this verbal joust. And I said, all right, you can ask me one question, but from here on out, I'm asking you questions. But I thought, here's John Maxwell, the guru of leadership, talking to some guy, random guy like me, and he's asking questions. So, you know, so that, I think that goes back to your question or to your point. What are you learning?
Are we going to see your answers in one of his next books?
Maybe so. I hope so. So, but anyway, so number nine is a couple of ways to describe this, but 1 hour of learning is one of the ways I'm going to describe this. 1 hour of learning. So if you've got a particular topic that you want to be interested in or you're curious about, it could be, hey, I want to learn how to cook. I want to learn about this particular area of life. Pick a what Kevin Jennings would call a primer book and just carve out 1 hour, and you could read, you could go to a conference and just go, what am I going to, I'm going to learn on this particular topic for one hour.
It reminds me a little bit of when I was cramming in school and I didn't do everything I was supposed to do. And we used to have what's called the Cliff Notes. Now they have the Spark Notes. And
I use those a lot in Greek mythology.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that 12-hour book I was supposed to read, I missed out on that window of opportunity. What can I get from it in 1 hour, right?
Right.
It's a cram session.
Yeah.
But that's a great way to jumpstart learning around a topic and even find out if you want to go further and learn more.
Yeah, like 4-Hour Chef by
Tim Ferriss.
It's a gigantic book,
yeah.
But he breaks it down and to go, hey, you can learn in 1 hour how to cook this.
Speaking of which, I do remember the time the three of us took cooking class together,
yeah.
By the way.
In 1 hour.
Yeah, there you that's go. Right. There you go. That was great. And last but not least, you got number 10.
So number 10 are new tech or apps. You know, what's your appetite for technology and how are you learning and who are you learning that from? And so my encouragement there is, the world is ever changing in the space of technology. So how are you embracing that? Don't be that person that's left behind. Launchers are going to need technology moving into the future. And so what does that look like? And so as you think about periodicals you're reading, blogs you're listening to, podcasts, what are those means of education in the technology space that you're going to really force yourself to kind of pay attention to and glean from? I think there's a huge opportunity here in the space of millennials. I think millennials have gravitated toward technology more so than anybody else. And oftentimes, I love to combine that question around what are you learning with how are you leveraging technology right now? What does that look like? Oftentimes they'll unload with you on all kinds of different apps and things that they're doing. But I think you've got to stay relevant in the space. One of the things I recently did was I just purchased a GoPro camera. And the primary reason, I had cameras and I was doing a lot of video shooting, but honestly, I think that's a space that people are getting into with taking photos and video on drones. What does that look like? How are we going to be leveraging that technology in the future? And just playing with it. There is some investment, but the investment generally pays off with some creativity learning that you get and some understanding of that space. The other thing I've recently done is, how are you staying up to speed with, again, apps, new technology around phones, computers? Those are things that are going to give you the edge, that slight edge that you need as you continue to be a launcher and a learner.
Okay, launchers, that's 10 hacks about how to be a better learner in less than 25 minutes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anything else? Hopefully it was helpful.
I got a thought, you know, just to we didn't really talk a lot about why should you be doing this in the first place, but if you think about the way the world is changing around us, and businesses are changing. And to your point just a second ago, Shane, technology is changing. And so customer expectations are shifting. And that's true whether you're in a restaurant business. Jeff, as a pastor, you see that happening in the faith and church community as well. It's everywhere. So I have to recognize, if I'm the same person today that I was yesterday or last week, and everything else is shifting, then I'm becoming irrelevant little by little.
Right.
And I don't want that to happen. And sometimes there's a tendency as we age to get stuck. Can't let that happen. So if you're a launcher and you want to be successful, you've got to figure out how do you keep pace with the change around you. Now, there's some core principles, values that are never going to change, but a lot of the other things, you do need to learn some new tricks. And so that's what motivates me to learn so that I can stay in the game, I can continue to be relevant, and I'm able to add value and lead in the midst of this shifting world and culture in which we live.
And that's one of the things we haven't talked about is learning from failure. But I remember from one of our earlier podcasts, David Butler said, it's not did this work or not, it's what were we learning? What did we learn from this? Because it could actually help us to go to the next step on this particular product. So launchers are learners, 10 hacks to help you become a better learner. Shane Minson, David Farmer, anything else, guys, before we let you go?
Let's just keep learning together.
Great. Well, thanks for being a part of Launch University, and we would love for you to tell us what your favorite hack is, or if there's one, I'm sure there is. There's more than 10, by the way. If there's one that you particularly like or are using, let us know either on the blog or on Twitter or Instagram. So on behalf of Shane Benson, Dave Farmer, and Kevin Jennings, who's not with us but dearly loved, I'm Jeff Henderson. We'll see you next time at Launch University.
Thanks for listening to the Launch University podcast. We hope it's helped move you from go-getter to difference maker. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. Find more great resources at launchu.net.